Of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What is the fuzziest word in the English language? What word can be used for anything, and used for anything and everything all the time? What word is always shifting, always bewildering, always hard to pin down exactly what it means? I would argue the fuzziest word is love. We use the word love so often for so many different things, sometimes it doesn't feel like it means anything. I love my wife. I love pad thai. I love my country. I love tacos. I just love your kitchen. I'm trying to love my enemies. I love Beyonce. I love rainy days. I love Jesus. Do I need to keep going, or is it pretty clear that love can mean anything and everything generally positive? So it seems like the way we use our words, we're kind of confused about what love is. We agree it's generally good, but it can be used for anything. And so the problem is, when we see the word love in the scriptures, either we can misunderstand what it is, or we can totally miss seeing what the scriptures call love. And so when we hear passages like in 1 John or in the Gospel of John, where Jesus talks again and again about love, it seems like understanding what Christian love is pretty important. God loves us, we're called to love God. Jesus loves us, we're called to love one another, we're called to love Jesus. What can this all mean? It looks like love is fundamental to the Christian life, but I think sometimes we kind of move past the words so quickly we assume we know what they mean by love. So if we want to be faithful to the scriptures, if we want to be people who are loving as God intends us to love, we need to nail down what Christian love is. So this morning, I would like to focus on two uncomfortable statements from our passage. They're uncomfortable for me. They will be uncomfortable for you. Let's move on. In verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then he follows up a few verses later and says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." So if we open our ears to what this is saying, and we hear them in all of its challenging clarity, what we hear is that obedience to Jesus is connected to loving Jesus well. So our obedience to Jesus is a sign of our love for him. And this is true because love leads to obedience. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He's not saying it as a command, he's saying it as a statement of reality. That's how love works. Jesus knows that those who love him will seek to obey him because love creates action. Love is not a sterile thing. Love isn't inert, it's creative. It generates something beyond itself, something tangible in the real world. It's so obvious in every other portion of life that sometimes we can miss it when we talk about Christian love. Love in the world does stuff. A parent loves his child, and so he feeds them, and he clothes them, and he cares for them. And sometimes, often, he sacrifices his own desire for his child. Children love parents as best they can, trying to obey. Gets a little more complicated when you have a teenager's heart. Although I don't feel much better than that most of the time. So we see that love does stuff. Someone begins to love the plight of the poor and the sick, and so love the sick and the poor, and so in that, they begin to volunteer at a food kitchen. Their love for that person does something in the real world. It translates into action. Jesus loved us, and his love, thankfully, translates into action. He loved us, and so he willingly sacrificed himself on the cross to save us from death and bring us back to God. Love fleshed out. And you could ask whether a love that doesn't produce action is really a love at all. We're not always the best with our spouses. We're not always the best with our children. We don't always love people as well as we can. But if there is not action resulting from that love, is it love at all? Imagine the love of Jesus not fleshed out in action. That is a terrifying thing. What would it mean to love someone but never express that love through care or kindness? Is that love? I don't think it is. And part of the problem with our language today about love is that we use love as a word that specifically means that fuzzy, warm feeling inside of us about something generally positive. That's why we can use it about everything from our country to Jesus to Beyonce to nachos, all kinds of things, because it's, that word means that generally positive feeling. And so then when we look to the scriptures and we see that our call is to love God, our call is to love our neighbor, easily we can conclude, I need to feel warm and fuzzy about all those things. And once I sufficiently feel warm and fuzzy, I have completed the call to love. Now, it's very hard to feel warm and fuzzy about your enemies if they're legitimately enemies. So loving your enemies has to mean more than something than just feeling warm. We need to understand that love is more than that positive feeling. It often includes that positive feeling, but it's not limited to it. And a love which is only fuzzy is not Christian love. Because Christian love, by its very nature, creates something new. It generates life. That's what the love of God does, is it brings life and freedom. It does things in people's lives. And so Jesus points out that just as the love of God generates beautiful, wonderful things in this world, our love for Jesus ought to bear fruit in obeying him. This isn't about perfect obedience. We're not talking about perfectly obeying him. Jesus knows who we are. He knows our weakness. He knows our sins. But what he's fundamentally saying is that if you truly love me, you will keep my commandments. You will be striving to grow as my disciple. And part of that means obeying me more and more and more. Unfortunately, when we claim salvation is by grace, we often end up believing that because we can't be perfect, we don't really need to try to be perfect. Because our salvation is ultimately in God's grace alone, all this other stuff, obedience, submission, that's work, and it's actually not the main thing. So maybe we can just put it to the side. And so we begin to place less and less importance on obeying Jesus. We turn a blind eye to our habits of sin because being a Christian isn't about works. It's about love. God's love for us and our love for him. What God really wants is our love. Do you see what happened there? Love suddenly doesn't mean obedience. But Jesus won't let us get off the hook if we faithfully read his words, because he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, it will lead to the desire and striving for obeying me. That's what love for me does. Our obedience is a sign we love Jesus because obeying Jesus is the evidence of our love. It's kind of a weird sentence, but how do you know a disciple? Well, in part, you know a disciple by seeing their obedience to Jesus. Because obedience is our love fleshed out in action. Jesus continues in this passage to make you more uncomfortable than he already has made you by saying, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. He's using obedience as an identifier of what it means to love God. He's setting out a blueprint. He's saying, you want to know who the guy is who loves me? It's the guy who keeps my commandments, who strives to learn from me, to keep my teachings, to follow me, to obey me. That's the guy that loves me. So what we hear is that somehow love and obedience are way more tied together than we often think or speak about. And unfortunately, what this means is that the kind of cheap and easy way of living as a Christian is not really an option for us with this passage. You know, the way that I think so often we wish it was is that I can love Jesus more and more and more. Obedience, I mean, that's the thing I'm working on, but every day I love him more. And what we do there is we disconnect love and obedience such that we can grow in love and never flesh that out in obedience. But instead, what Jesus is connecting is that if you are growing in love, you ought to be growing in obedience. Not perfect, still struggling, still fighting, but you ought to be fighting for obedience. And I think today the church is really in danger of missing that connection. Because when you say Christianity is about love, Jesus is about love, being a Christian is about love, what does that mean? Because it can mean anything. So we need it to mean what Jesus means by love. One of the things I do, I'm actually not at the church as often as you might think because I'm out at coffee shops, I'm out doing things, talking to people, and so I end up talking to people here, talking to people there, and I'm just curious. I'm always curious to understand how Christians understand their lives. What language do we use about being a Christian? You know? Because you can learn a lot just hearing someone talk about their faith. So I hear a lot of excitement about worship, excitement about Jesus, passion for reaching people. I hear about people who are on fire for the Lord, really committed to Jesus. I hear a lot of people say, I am so excited about what God's doing in my life. And that's all really encouraging. It's a thing where you walk out and you say, wow, the Lord is working in people's lives. But what you end up seeing is that excitement is connected to loving God more. And what you often don't hear is any talk of obedience, because it's not attractive. It's not fun. So everyone's talking about loving God more and more and more and more, but we don't seem to be using the vocab of obedience and submission and Jesus being the one who we ought to obey. And so I worry that it's just not a working category for us. On paper, we all agree we need to be better Christians. And that's the term that's often used. Of course, we need to be better Christians. But I still think we're often not connecting loving God with obeying God. That one of the ways to be a better Christian is to lovingly obey the Lord. Two sides to the same coin. Jesus says it plainly, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. That's how you will know my people, because they are striving to follow me. So how would my coffee chats change with people if loving obedience was a concept that we thought about and lived in? Would someone say, oh my gosh, I am so on fire for the Lord that I am fighting against this sinful habit. I am so on fire for the Lord that I am faithfully trying to take everything he says in the scriptures and apply it to my life. I am so excited about Jesus, and that means that I'm getting rid of my pride, or I'm working on lust, or I'm dealing with my anger, because that's how I love Jesus well. I think it would be very different if we were talking that way. Now, the final thing, it's going to sound at first like a bummer, but it's actually going to be helpful. I hope. Maybe it'll be a bummer, but I think it's helpful. Our obedience to Jesus is a sign of our love, which means that our disobedience is a sign of dislove. It's just kind of flipping the sentence. If loving Jesus well is obeying him, when we disobey him, we're not loving him well. So maybe you've never thought about this. Maybe if you're like, of course. But I think too often today we depersonalize sin and we say, I messed up. I broke one of God's rules. I made a mistake. All of that language is not saying I did something unloving towards God. I didn't love God. I disloved him in that moment. Because I think we want to disconnect loving God from obeying him. And so we end up thinking, well, I always love God. I just happened to sin. But we're not biting the bullet here that our sin is dislove of God. When we sin, when we disobey, in that moment, we're not loving God. I'm not saying there's no love of God in us, but what it means is that our love is not fleshed out in our lives. Because to truly love God, as Jesus teaches, is to obey him. And actually, I would argue that this is the deepest reason why Jesus Christ was sinless. Sometimes we talk about the cross and resurrection like it's like a mechanics manual. Well, Jesus had to be sinless so he could be a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That's a true theological statement. But when you ask the question, why was Jesus sinless? There are multiple answers that give you this picture. One is, he was God. And so we have to ask, could he sin? I think the fundamental reason Jesus was sinless is that he loved God so much, he would not dislove him through disobeying him. So his love of God was so overwhelming, he was so devoted to the Father, that the last thing he would do is not love God by loving something else more than him. That's why. So at the root of Jesus' obedience is love. In the same way, at the root of our obedience ought to be love. Now, the idea that we are actively disloving God throughout our lives is a sobering thought. It's convicting. I don't like feeling that. You mean I'm not just messing up, I'm actively unloving, disloving God in that moment? You hear the rupture of relationship that sin creates. So it's a bummer. And I can't avoid it. It seemed like it was more of a bummer for first service, but maybe they just weren't as caffeinated. But here is the good part of this. If our sin and our disobedience is disloving God, actively not loving him, I think it's an easier thing to fight. I don't know all of you. I know many of you. And I would be willing to guess that most of us are more attracted to the idea of loving God than we are to the idea of following rules, right? This is the classic problem. Christianity, that's just all about rules. You guys just want to follow rules, right? And so then it makes it seem like Christians are people who are just super excited at following rules. I don't think many of you are going to leave the church saying, you know what, I can't wait. I'm going to follow the speed limit. It's going to be awesome. I don't even think I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. I'm going to be so excited to go to work on time. I get to go to work on time. I'm just overwhelmed at the wonder of following rules. That's not really how our brains work. But loving God, that's an attractive thing. I can get excited about loving God. There's another way to love God. I want to do that. Loving God is a way of honoring him. I want to do that. Oh, it's through obedience. Okay, I wasn't expecting that, but if that's a way to love God, I want to do that. So if we understand that sin is not just about disobedience or breaking a rule, but it's actually in that moment we have stepped out of loving God well, I think it ought to encourage us, because then it kind of clears up a lot of the confusion. So practically, I want to offer to you a way of interacting with that part of you that wants to do what is wrong, or that part of you that wants to hold on to bad thoughts or to bad habits or to aspects of your personality that are sinful. I want to give you a practical thing to do. Maybe you already do this. I've only recently thought about it in this way. When you feel temptation, or when you're face-to-face with something inside you that is fleshly, that is not of God, just ask the question, do I love this thing more than God? Don't ask, should I do this? Should I not do this? Don't get caught up in just, should I break a rule, not break a rule? I want to follow the rules. Just say, do I love this more than God? One of two things is going to happen. The first is you're suddenly going to see the thing for what it is and say, no, I don't love this thing more than God. It was an illusion that this could be ultimately satisfying for me. God is so much greater than that. I choose God. I'm going to love God over this thing. The other option is harder to realize, but sometimes more important. Maybe in that moment you say, you know what? I do love that thing more than God. There's a part of me that thinks that thought or that emotion or that habit or that way of living is more comfortable than resting in God. And that sounds like defeat, because what you've just realized is there's a part of your heart that's real dark. Face to face, you're like, yeah, I'm choosing this, right? But then in the midst of that, you can look to God and say, Lord Jesus, help me to love you more than this. Because he's the only one who does that. He's the only one that can build more love for him in you. And so when you come face to face with the reality that you love other things, whether it's money, whether it's safety, security, whatever it might be, whether it's gossip, I want to love God more. And so we can cry out to him and say, grow that love in me so that I can be like your son and love you so much that I seek to obey you in all things. I offer that to you as a way of really trying to understand sin, not just as disobedience, but dislove. And I would call and encourage you to take these words very seriously. That Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The one who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. Jesus has connected love and obedience. May we never separate them. Amen.